Regarding the request by Grant Kingsman and others to rezone 63.24 hectares of land from rural zone to industrial B after an ODP zone, with specific provisions for industrial B zoning, although I recommend rejecting the submission, I consider there is merit in the requested rezoning. I consider the submitter still needs to address the following. Would need to be considerably reworked by the submitter to provide a package of industrial B zone and IBC provisions, including the zone objectives and policies that will fit with the structure of the PDP. B, redesign the zone to provide security for those industrial activities that are typically forced out of urban industrial zones by excluding offices not ancillary to permitted activities, and providing limits on retail, including a maximum number of food and beverage outlets. Provide a complete natural hazards report, including the stability of the quarry land and the, I would say that it should be unengineered landfill. It identifies any mitigation measures, both within and outside the zone. D, clearly identify the visual effects of the development, including confirmation that the height standard ensures that the development will not be visible from the state highway in the vicinity of the zone. And E, address the potential for traffic congestion once a certain level of development is reached, as identified by the submitted traffic experts. And F, include provisions to ensure that the infrastructure, landscaping and mitigation of hazards are addressed prior to the zone becoming operational, and to clearly identify that the infrastructure development will be undertaken and paid for by the developer, not by the council.
Submission 63361 seeks the establishment of industrial zones adjacent to the state highway. I'm opposed to the establishment of this zone, but I consider that it would have significant adverse effects on the character of the landscape and on the visual anti gain from views of the remarkables. I'm not quite sure it should be gain of views of the remarkables.
Paragraph 12, for some reason, in respect of submission 361, I remain concerned that there is an underlying issue that the road access to the state highway is not sufficient to meet projected traffic levels. Proceeding with this rezoning could result in the district plan creating development potential that cannot be serviced by the state highway. Paragraph 20A of the Department refers to the possibility of reducing the built area within the zone as one way of addressing congestion on the development approach to the state highway. However, as evidence does not indicate the extent of the reduction, it is implicit that there is a concern at the level of congestion on terminal access to the state highway, but no analysis has been provided to quantify this. Please be aware that paragraphs 3.3 and 3.4 of my rebuttal evidence contradict each other, and I confirm that I do remain opposed to this rezoning because of Mr. Barton's outstanding concerns over congestion.
Let's start with Mr. Osborne yesterday and the need for further industrial zoning in the district. His modelling and evidence is that there is sufficient land in Tempu, in the Queenstown Water Project, until about the beginning of 2030 in terms of industrial land. Did you have that information when you were forming your view as to whether or not the zoning is there?
No,
did you take that into account?
I did.
Yes, you agree with it?
Yes.
Okay. So it's agreed that there is a need?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And then I asked him yesterday when he thought, how long it would take to lead into it. And I also asked him what activities would be likely to happen in this district, and I didn't get an answer to the second part. But can you please answer both of those? So what is the lead time for industrial development? And secondly, what sort of activities would you expect when seeking this kind of zoning in this location?
The lead time for, assuming the zoning is in place, the lead time to develop a site that is appropriately zoned, the lead time to rezone and
undertake. Well, the rezoning that would happen would come out of this plan, presumably. So it's going to be within 2 years that it's operative or effective or it's going to be. So from that day, what is the lead time?
I'll consider that. It would be, well, 5 to 10 or possibly closer to 10. And the reason I say that is one of my concerns is that I consider the infrastructure needs to be put in place for that zone, and that would take quite a bit of time in itself. It's development of a wastewater treatment system, stormwater, and natural hazard mitigation, which I'm not uncertain about what level of mitigation is required. So I would say 10 years would probably be about right now. And that, plus or minus 5 probably.
Yes.
Just looking at the worst case situation where developments can take that amount of time. And it is quite a large area, so to probably to actually create the infrastructure, it's quite a I imagine there's a lot of engineering, and also the landscape as well.
Could it be static?
That's one concern I have, is it staging. If the development relies on private infrastructure, once you stage it, if you take one part of the stage, do you need to provide infrastructure for the whole development, or can you provide for that part? I'm not sure.
Depending from on the feasibility of
it. Well, then also, if that stage is subdivided, then the ownership becomes fragmented.
Yeah.
And then who's responsible for that? The next stage for upgrading the treatment plant or whatever, or expanding it. I'm sure it could be, but that could create a few issues in terms of providing an overall comprehensive infrastructure system. Hopefully, it can be, especially if it's privately controlled.
Could we go back to Commissioner Crawford's second part of the
question?
I don't want to be distracted.
But I was thinking about what activity might be attracted, and that could also relate to the ability to stage as well. Because some activities in very large yards may only need a set peak. So what, you 63 hectares is a lot. It's more than is needed, I think, to satisfy what Mr. Osborne anticipates would be a shortfall. But it is one piece of land, and the ability to do the landscaping and everything else that may be possible to make it acceptable in terms of the effects on landscape and so on depends on the same as fruit, same as 1 month, doesn't it? So that's another thing. So what does the district need in the way of industrial activities, and what would you foresee would be the demand in this area?
I don't think it's a question of demand, it's what type of thing. I see the importance of this zone is if it can provide a zone where, as I say, maybe those activities that typically be pushed out of the urban industrial zones. If that was the key focus of this zone, I think that would be a benefit. So transport, I see the zone is provided for that. As a submission, so it's a yard based, transport based type of industry. Whereas they do need large areas of land. Typically, they do require low cost development as well. They're not high rent payers. That was one of my concerns early on, is just the cost of the infrastructure to develop that site. I think the weather, class of activity that I consider that zone should provide for whether they could, whether they would be sustainable for the development. But that's, well, you know, one way is the developer's concerned about once the zone is in, the developer finds they can't sustain development with the lower cost. And industrial activity, that's where the pressure comes from, for them to encourage or take on high paying rent activities such as offices and those sorts of things.
If it's the work as explained by Mr. Osborne, then put it another way, the shortfall that Mr. Osborne identifies, and it's not uncommon in New Zealand for industrial land to be overlooked in terms of planning provision, industrial plan. How else might it be met, or where else might that be met, so that that capacity of that supply is available at the beginning of 2030? It's not that precise, I understand, but we're using his model because he's going to calibrate it. He'll know better in 5 years' time as we use it more and more. So let's just say what he said.
Well, I can't think of any likely option. May come down to how well the current industrial land is retained for industrial activity purposes.
Yes,
it seems. So the evidence I've seen is that has been eroded, slowly been eroded as well. There's a pressure for non industrial activity set up in those areas. But my understanding is that it's not that. Well, I haven't seen any other likely options. I understand that the zone closest to the airport is what is currently zoned for industrial activities, but that's taken into account by the state.
Yes.
That's flat land. That's, you know, in a high noise area. It's like quite appropriate for us to have industrial, true industrial activities.
Then, in terms of the actual provisions, and it appears to me that, Mr. Chair, there's a convergence in terms of both the merit of the zone and in the kind of seeking of the provision. Is there any capacity for some form of expert conferencing or other process that would facilitate this? Because I can't imagine this panel going line by line.
I would encourage that if, as you've said, there's a number of issues, suggest that discussing those issues with the submitters, experts, might narrow it before we hear from them. Well, they've only got this
one over three.
It might not even be
the order.
But even if it was to happen after we heard from them, that would still be helpful. Is that a
I'll be struggling to conference this
week. Yes, that's obvious.
Yes.
I would be happy if it was after we heard from Mrs. Butler, which was Monday and Tuesday. Because that would assist them to understand they would have heard this happens here, our questions and arises now.
Yes.
And they would have had our questions of them, and that might encourage discussion around the convergence rather than the divergence.
Certainly have a discussion with something about whether love. What they have undertaken in terms of the wording of the provisions?
Well, recognise what that is. I'm not really prepared to answer that sort of detail
no,
at the moment.
No, well,
it's a bit of an idea.
I started rewriting those, of course.
Yes.
But to know that, that we work on that basis. Go on from
there. And maybe be waiting to hear what how you question you for the I just, if I was a consultant, someone in that situation, I would wait to hear at least an indication of what the treatments would be before I start the rewrite.
Can I resume now?
Yes, certainly.
I've got to read, probably. the home book. Although you have stated you're continuing your position, in the evidence of the chief, you do make a statement that your opposition is partly based on a lack of sufficient information. In my opinion, the change of view evidence of information was provided. Remind me, please, what are the key things that you would need more information on and your key concerns about the lack of that?
Well, my key, the key area was to do with the visibility of development within
from the height.
Yes. Well, no, not from the highway. No, the visibility of development on the site. And what it was provided was a series of height limits in the site, which I understand would probably ensure limited visibility from the state highway adjacent to the site at least. But it doesn't, but I'm left with the sense, left with the understanding, and this is based on my observation, that a bleak use of the site would enable quite a high degree of visibility, both from relatively close, when you turn them north up the from just as you crest the hill past Jack's Point and start to descend, that you get an oblique view of the site from there. And I'm concerned about the views of the site from a wider catchment, right over to, well, it's not Goldfield Heights, but above Marina Heights. And my concern from the more distant views is that I think that the zone will have an urban appearance. I think, if it was fully developed as it is proposed, that it would have an urban character to it, and that would impact on the views of the remarkable. Because it is seen that while the site is horribly degraded as it currently is, it still has quite extensive vegetation on it and so on, and it leaves you going to the rest of the lower slopes are remarkable. Whereas that ranks it full of streetlights and roading and cuts that have been designed to establish buildings and so on, and so on, I think it would be more apparent and more distinct from that.
Well, Dr. Rand, I'm sitting here looking out the window at Jack's Point, which is obviously urban, and see how does that detract from the appreciation of the remarkables?
Well, I think it does.
I'm wondering about if say we're seeing some urban development on the other side of the highway. What landscaping in front of it might actually have the same or less effect.
But I was saying to somebody just at lunchtime that considering that the development that you can see there is approximately 20-30% of the development, which is
in the most
potential there. Well, no, that is a very small amount of the development that is going to happen on that saddle.
But it's the most concentrated at the moment.
Yes, that's right. That if that was being proposed now, I would be arguing very vigorously against it being allowed there.
But I can't see what it's...
Well, because...
Where is the detraction?
Well, I consider it detract because of the diminishment of natural character of the entire view. At night you have the lights of the houses, they reflect on the lake. It's, from higher up the hill you can see the green of the golf course. I consider that it attracts. Maybe I'm overly sensitive, but I consider that the views are remarkable to be one of the premier views, scenic views of the country. I think it's right up there with Mount Peak, for example.
Anyway,
pardon?
Just to carry on with that, when you refer to the lights that's in the bus, I was going to ask you that question. Is it possible to condition and design lighting so that it's actually at the distances we're talking, even from the state highway, on Jack's point to this industrial area, they're virtually invisible?
At Jack's point, they are pretty good. I know that I can remember doing a site visit to check that the street lighting was not visible from the road. From my recollection, on Jack's point, it's all below the level of the highway. Mm. But in this instance, it would be above the level of the highway. That might be below ground level.
Problem with the street lighting in Birmingham is the southern light strategy rather than the ability to do street lighting, which is invisible, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I don't know what the southern light strategy is.
What the engineers rely on for getting the lighting in.
Is it still true that the statement that you made in your summary of the diversification of an ONL into tourism or residential could be as their industrial should only occur in scale and in the location in the landscape as it is sustained slash not degraded? Is that an applicable test in this case?
It's immediately adjacent to the corner, the southeast corner of the site is within the ONL, but I don't think they propose any industrial development in that corner.
So we can set aside the trade-off between ONL and development. Right. Then in that case, I guess my question to you is the one that we had this morning, really, which is about an ONL just abutting abruptly to urban development. How does that interface managed or don't you? What
is
the treatment?
Well, I guess that really what I'm saying is that in this instance, I don't think urban development, I think the ONL is desirable.
And it's because of the effect on the views of the remarkable
here,
because of its urban
I mean, there is going to be, there is obviously developing it, quite intense urban development on the west side of the highway in the valley floor. This starts to sprawl urban type development up the lower slopes of the outwash strand.
So when you
just think that the highway is a really clear boundary,
so when you said that you thought your opinion would change if further in the consultation was provided, what kind of change might help?
A more comprehensive assessment of the visibility of the proposed development and the effects on a broader scale. Because rather than documents that provided any evidence of levels of visibility, what we were presented with was a diagrammatic a diagram to go with the rules that they proposed, which simply said that in this band you can't go over this height, in this band you can't go over that height, and with the assumption or with the expectation that would ensure that those buildings would not be visible from the highway.
So, depending on the kind of activities that would be enabled, assuming this thing even with 63 hectares in yard-based activity, what kind of buildings and what scale would they have, and how would individually by citing them collectively as an urban area, how would it shape up by the review or together?
Well, I think that, you know, that's, well, I mean, maybe so I base my assumption on the plans, on the indicative subdivision plans that they provided, which could be built for my
building. I think the zone provisions provide quite high site coverage as well.
We just get Mr. Olsen yesterday to suggest that the offices were the most problematic issue in the zone. Is that where the issue is for you, Dr. Reed? Built form offices as opposed to a yard-based activity?
Well, probably. I mean, really yard-based industrial activity is happening there now with no adverse effects on the landscape. When you expand that, when you incorporate lots of buildings with that, and I guess the offices a part of that.
I'd say that in terms of transport-based industry, that may include warehouses, where almost the whole site is
covered. The distribution industry is
connected. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I think one of the answers, because it's the old warehousing, depends on the demand.
Is it for height, is the issue, or the bulk?
Depending on the visibility, I think. So that's the question we can have, is we're not sure what the visibility will be. The assessment of the visibility of development on that site, we're just not sure about.
And a plan making legal, considering the options for the future of this land, is the option of enabling industrial development, which meets in a projected unmet demand, versus the landscape and the effects on the wider effects on the landscape. What are the tests for making that judgment? What sort of panel
are we going? Well, as I said earlier, there doesn't seem to be many options for industrial land. The test here is the visibility of it more than anything else. Well, there is traffic issues as well.
But in the plan itself, when there are competing, say, goals, is there any guidance from the plan?
I think because it's not within it, though, and I'm not sure whether it is that much guidance. It's going to be in the structure of the strategic direction. But that does include providing unusual case in that usually industrial zones are within the urban growth boundary, but there are limits to that, and also I think adding an industrial zone to where the urban growth boundary is currently is problematic in terms of landscapes. And, you know, this site does, it's not an RNL, it seems like there's potential for it to be developed limit of visibility?
I do have 100 hectares
on the
I think the 63 hectares includes
the landscape portion, the green open space portions. That is the concern. So I mean, he's not saying no, he's just saying it's wrong. So that's my point E, which on page 9 of my
essay. Oh, so you do.
So address the traffic.
Okay.
Just environment. That's the game. We don't know what the traffic is. What? Give us the information.
I think I'll leave it.
If I could tell me to what to read. I really want to take up where just the new district problem. Looking out there too. Just thinking about what you said, are you essentially treating the whole landscape from there, including the lake on top of the mountains, as the OML? Because you must be.
Pretty much everything that you can see from looking out in that view is classified as OML, yes.
No, the OML line is above Cumberland, isn't it?
On the far side of the valley, yes, but what you're seeing on from the lake is considered ONL. All of Jack's Point Hill is ONL. All the face of the between Jack's Point Hill and Peninsula Hill is ONL.
But the site is not.
Pardon? Where the houses are located is not included, but I think the zone predates the landscape classification. So the houses were put there before the decision was made that, well, the ability to put houses there was, I think, predates. I would have thought that it should have been part of the ONL too. It has high natural character, which has been promoted in the zone provision.
But it's not fair to the landowners in the process to treat, essentially look at something out the window from this distance and essentially say, well, the ONL's in the wrong place.
I haven't said that.
Well, haven't you? It seemed to me you were saying, when you were talking about the quality of that distance, that it came down at least to the edge of the lake.
Yes.
But it doesn't, does it?
Yes, it does.
But the ONL one doesn't.
All of the face along the lake edge there that you can see where the regenerating vegetation is, where that gash is in the hillside, all of that is ONL. All of Jack's Point Hill is ONL. Then you have the Jack's Point zone intervening, and then there's an ONL boundary on the far side as well.
So there's a gap.
So there's a gap where Jack's Point is.
And where this fringe is on.
Yes, which can't see from here because it's behind the Mitchell Hill. And if you look at the mapping of the line through the Cumberland Valley, you can see that it's been that shoots up the hill in order to exclude this land from the ONL, which is a response to the activities that have occurred on it in time, rather than anything inherent about that part of the landscape. That it hadn't been quarried and had Douglas fir planted on it and those sorts of things, it would have been part of the ONL as well.
Is it fair for the process of the landowners to treat something as if it should be ONL?
That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is that you can undertake development outside of an ONL, which has impacts on the ONL, and the district plan recognises that.
Well, if the Cumberland site is not ONL, then isn't that exactly what you just said? They're proposing to take an undertake an activity which is not affected by ONL rules.
I've never said that it was prohibited. I've said that the I've never claimed that the Cumberland site was part of the ONL.
But just in answer to the news question, it seemed as if you were almost assuming that it should be, and therefore it was legitimate to treat it as though it should be.
No, and I don't think I am treating it as though it's ONL, but what I'm saying is that the urban type development of it has an impact on the ONL above it.
Well, that must be true. Very widely around this whole district, anywhere in Queensland.
It is, yes.
So you're trying to draw up also for a line in the sand, as it were, on a line on the hill to say no more.
Yes.
The site is not really zoned industrial. What's its best use in best zoning in the future? It has a history.
The history is predominantly quarry in this. That's my understanding. Something that's in rural zones. One thing I don't like is to use rural zones as a default zone. You know, which is typical of what happens generally in planning. as it's mining and place of structure, which is the rural zone does provide the basis, or does it's specifically the type of zone that has causal flexibility for the planning. The rural zone also, rural industrial zone, but I don't think that would be appropriate. I'd say rural zone, but obviously.
It's understood, you know, because it's something that they can't do there, including all the angels. What's it supposed
to be? That's the land above the zoning.
Mm.
I'm not sure if
it's a little perch to have.
Often those sort of things are, they do end up in the rural zone, far away from the urban development.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll move on to Mr. Buxton's last commission and cover. That is Limited Family Trust, number 393.
The request by the Limited Family Trust to move the top of Queenstown Hill from rural zone, including an O&L, to equal mixed use zone, was recommended to be rejected, as it would have a significant effect on the surroundings and the operation of the existing airport. No information was provided in the submissions on details of the proposed zone or the effects, and no evidence has been received.
Submission 393 seeks to establish an airport mixed-use zone on the top of Queenstown Hill. I am opposed to the granting of this relief because of the adverse effects on the landscape character, particularly natural character, and the visual amenity provided by the landscape in which it's proposed to be located.
Opposed to submission by Middleton Trustees 393 for the establishment of an airport mixed use zone on the top of Queenstown Hill based on the extensive indigenous cover of the site and the large areas of wetlands. From an ecological perspective, it is my view that a greater level of ecological detail and understanding of the development footprint is required before a more permissive planning context can be considered for the proposed airport activities.
That
brings us to the end of the rural
commission. Yes, and then just Mr. Davis to read the rest of this summary.
Yes, and then just any questions on those remaining submissions that he has considered. I might request to take the rest of
yes, 41.
Yes, but we might start with the 7s afterwards. Okay,
let's start. We'll see how we go.
That was commanded, please. Thank you.
Mr. Geddes filed planning evidence in relation to SNAA 23A. The submitter requests that the SNAA boundary is removed from lots 4, 14, 17 and 19, DP 2, 634. Mr. Geddes considers that Eaton A should be excluded from these lots on the basis that residential development activities on these lots were approved for the granting of resource consent RM 970272, October 1996. I have reviewed the boundary of Eaton A 23A through lots 4, 14, 17 and 19. According to one side of what the consent approves, Lot 19, which is proposed to be removed from SNA A23A, is cleared of Indigenous vegetation and I can support the realignment to the boundary of the property. The removal of the SNA from lots 4, 14 and 17 amount to a total area of approximately 3,150 square metres, which is less than 1% of the total area of SNA A23A. The SNA report recommendation states, accept the shrubland area within the closed fence station as an SNA given its contiguous nature with regenerating shrubland and forest communities in the adjacent preserve. Page 3 of SNA report, 23rd June 2011. The requested exclusions from lots 4, 14 and 17 are on the eastern boundary of the SNA and in my view will not undermine the contiguous nature of the regenerating shrubland. For this reason, in the realms of size of the proposed exclusion zones, I can support the request to amend the boundary of the SNA to the perimeter of the lot boundaries. I have prepared an amended plan for the SNA and provided this in attachment A of my rebuttal evidence. Urban and urban fringe, groups 1A, 1B, 1C and 1D. From an ecological perspective, I do not oppose any of the rezoning requests from the urban area. This view is based on the lack of the remaining ecological values within the urban environment. From an ecological perspective, I do not oppose the majority of requests on the urban fringe, as most of the indigenous vegetation has been removed from these areas. Group 1B. I oppose the FSME development submission 429, which seeks to rezone the site of high-density residential, as the site contains rocky outcrops and small bluffs that may provide habitat for sphinx and geckos. In my view, a sphinx and gecko survey should be undertaken on the site to establish the ecological values prior to approving a higher density zone for this land.
Do you have any questions?
I'm not knowledgeable about local flora and fauna, but could you give me a briefing on sphinx and geckos? Could you give me a short briefing on sphinx and geckos? This is in why they're important. And why they're important?
Why they're important? Well, we have a number of threatened sphinx and geckos in the district. This particular site has got a number of what could be really quite good habitat for these sphinx and geckos.
We didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't want the sphinx and geckos.
I would imagine high density residential development on site would be pretty intensive from a building perspective and would knock out any habitat that was present. So it'd be nice to know what it is before we sort of approved, I think, that sort of density on the site.
What would a survey entail? What would you have, like, you couldn't have done this yourself as part of your evaluation?
No, I don't.
What process of a survey do you do to satisfy yourself as to presence or absence?
Yeah, so you'd need to, I would actually get a skink and gecko expert in to do that piece of work. But they would spend a day on that site, turning over rocks and looking for the individuals.
And you do it
Sorry?
And you do it during the day?
Yes, you can, yep. But it needs to be done at the right time of year, so it needs to be certainly not winter. Spring and summer are the best times to do those things.
Thank you. And when development was done, say, on the northern side of the right, you might have some of the earthworks there. Would that have been the same kind of habitat?
Oh, you mean the Hilton?
Yeah. Oh, I should have said the Hilton. Is that a rock too? Because that's total environment.
A total environment, yeah. 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 I'm not familiar with the consenting requirements of that particular site, but yeah, it may have been ourselves.
It may have looked similar to this site.
I think it drops away.
Oh, okay.
So the topography is quite different, and so it's, yeah. So
thank you. That's helpful to me.
No, I have no further questions in space.
Thank you. I think that's all we have to ask, and we have around 20 minutes to go. We have Ms. Banks here, and she would like to bring the strategic part of her summary for where you take the solutions, but we could give her a few more photographs. That's Ms. Evans and Ms. Banks from the Journal of Dr.
Yes.
Is that good for you?
Yes. And you're reading this swing actually.
Sorry, Ms.
Yes.
Yes. So there's just 10 paragraphs of her summary are sort of overall points, and it would make sense to read it out before we get into group 1A. In the same way that Dr. Reed did earlier today, I think.
Yes.
I just need to come to find it, so thank you for not missing any all of the
no, it's just my finding that I'm not able to.
Groups 1A, 1B, and 1C, and 1D of the Queensland Lakes District. Queensland has currently undergone major growth in population numbers and has been recognised that existing transport infrastructure is at or near capacity, which relates to how it affects the Preston area and the town centre. Future transportation upgrades and plans are proposed in the short, medium, and long term, and are not limited to providing additional road capacity since Queenstown is constrained by Lake Wapato and they include encouraging active transport to reduce dependence on private car use, such as private transport and integrated footpath and cycle routes. Transport planning in Queenstown is challenging given the fiscal constraints, the current delays during the morning and evening peak periods, and the existing land use developments, particularly with the location of the Queenstown. The Frankton area is expected to accommodate the future population and business growth given the fiscal constraints of other urban areas in Queenstown. Road capacity, safety and efficiency is not all that is currently being affected. The current traffic volumes and expected growth in traffic numbers will place even further pressure on parking, particularly in Queenstown town centre. Furthermore, Queenstown's ownership of vehicles per dwelling is likely to be high due to shared living and reliance on private vehicles. In my view, the proposed district plan complements the future planned transportation improvements, such as improvements to State Highway 6 and 6A by using the transport agency, and measures to increase the use of alternative transport modes, such as public transport, walking, and cycling, that fail to see as a problem. For the rezoning submissions, I have considered the existing and future transport network. However, there were some submissions where I have taken into account the future upgrades in the area, but due to existing traffic and parking issues, I am not comfortable with the rezoning. Through this assessment, I have identified potential rezonings that could trigger or further promote active transport, such as rezoning from low-density residential to medium-density residential in the Frank Hill and Tractor Road areas, in the Sean and Jane McLeod Submission 391 and the Ready Route Limited 699. State Highway 6 and 6A connect Queenstown to the west, Frankton Lake Hay, and to the south, Airport, Kelvin Heights, Peninsula, and Jack Point. As these are important connector routes, I consider that adding additional accesses on estate highways should be avoided where possible for huge Sherbourne and New Zealand Transport Agency. Further, I have concerns that existing intersections along state highways with some rezoning requests and the potential impact it could have on road safety and efficiency on the road network. These intersections along state highway 68 include the Sugar Lane, the Marina Drive, and Guildford Heights. On state highway 6 between 6508 and Tupper Beach Road, the Flanton Road and Flat area, I consider access should be limited to the existing accesses with no creation of new accesses to support new developments. State Highway 6 from Frankton to Kelvin Heights, Jack's Point, Kawara Road and Chickenston Road both see significant improvements when the Kawara Bridge is expected to open at the end of 2007. However, in my opinion, upgrades that are currently underway or planned should be viewed as improving the current capacity in order to relieve existing delays and improve the network efficiency. Care is needed to ensure that extensive new developments will not oversaturate the new or upgraded roads given the physical constraints, i.e. limited land to create road capacity. In my view, there is a large emphasis by submitters on the additional capacity that has been created, or will be created, such as a new fourth lane on the Hawthorne Drive to Highway 6 roundabout for the Hampton Road to Lady Miles, also locally known as the Clearline Drive area, and the further widening along the Highway 6. However, the effects that it will have on the surrounding transport network has somewhat been overlooked. While additional capacity could ease the traffic journey from the new development, the traffic issues downstream will still exist. In summary, there is potential to stress traffic issues from one area to another without resolving the road issues.
Christian Corbett, do you have any questions on this team of Chris for? The only question I've got is in your comment regarding Sugar Lane Marina Drive intersection. I was the chairman of the panel that granted consent for the marina, and we had a long discussion with both the applicant and NZTA about that intersection, and I understood that there was some upgrading going to result from the marina.
I wasn't aware.
Well, it might just paint a picture of what's happening in there.
It does
require that the marina go ahead, of course,
I guess my concern is
the existing
situation is with the right turn movement.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. We assessed that they were virtually impossible.
Yes.
And I demonstrated to my fellow commissioners the need to actually turn left and run through the service station.
Several times.
To facilitate the right turn movement, yes. Do you have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so Dr. Reid has addressed the Group 1A submissions together, so I'll now invite you to read out his summary, or we can specifically answer the
I work together the ones that are on the fringe of the Venture Drive Industrial Zone, which are the first chunk of the submissions that my bank will look at. So those are submissions 344, 418, 488, and 720. And they all relate to remnants of rural zone land around the fringes of the industrial zone. The remnants in the main no longer serve any useful function in terms of mitigating the effects of an industrial zone within a rural area, and the area is no longer rural in character. Of course, when the drive was created at the time, and all the surrounding land was zoned rural, you know. Some land adjacent to the airport comprises remnants of rural land which were not rezoned through Plan Change 19, Brenton Black B. I consider that the retention of rural zoning is important along the top of the slope of the shot over River Terrace escarpment, which encloses the drive to the slightly northeast, to provide a continuation of the existing buffer between the development on the top and the escarpment, and that this is to provide sort of mitigation views of development within the industrial zone to the north, particularly now from the shot over country. And this only applies to the land referred to by Commission 448.
That is just holding MBDZ Properties Limited, which is the first mission.
So it's 488.
Sorry, did I say 448?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, you're right, it's
488.
A typo.
So, Stephens, if you could start with that. Yes, paragraph 7. So, this is just holding the UCL Properties Limited.
Good afternoon. Ships Holding Limited and B&D Properties Limited. We sought rezoning from rural and ODP industrial A to business mixed use zone. I do not consider the business mixed use zone to be appropriate, as it could facilitate a level of intensification and residential development that is consistent with the Glenda Drive industrial area, and therefore a business mixed use zone is not a more appropriate zone. I consider that the part of the site that has been notified in Britain would be more appropriate as industrial, given the location in an industrial area. However, there is no scope for this change to this hearing, nor is there any evidence to the that one of the ODB industrial zones as currently drafted meets the various statutory tests to justify the zones of corporations directly into the PDD. As the second part of the site is yet to be notified, I also recommend that the council consider notifying the entire site at the time that it uses the industrial zones.
One of the questions that is raised by Dr. Reed's recommendation, but really a pain question, is if you have the top of the slope in the terrace space zone rural, and the plan provides that essentially a site with a split zone has an automatic right to subdivide, is that providing a potential problem by encouraging the creation of a new rural site in the development? And, or is the, would it be then dealt with by another planning mechanism?
So sorry, did you say that if it has a split zoning?
Yes, there's a rule, the definition of site is such that if it has a split zoning, you can subdivide it along the it's deemed to be two sites, so inherently you can subdivide into two.
Okay.
Yes.
But I wasn't aware of that,
Rob. No, we worked until we started. For the reason, I forgot what the stream it was.
Okay.
I think it was the subdivision stream.
Sorry, I
need to
ask
a
question.
Well, what Dr. Reed is suggesting is a split zone, rural and industrial, albeit that industrial is not something we can put in place at the moment. In your view, would it be better to look at an alternative planning mechanism, such as a no-build zone, than a split zone, given the ability to subdivide in that way?
I think that makes sense.
There already is some of that area, there will be no build zones anyway.
Can I just point out that all of those lots along that side of Fuse Drive have that same zone?
Yes, they have the same problem. Yes.
That is a problem.
Well, it may not be a problem if the no build zone effectively runs up and covers all that area. It's a bit hard to tell at that scale.
Yeah, this map is hopeless.
It might be something that needs to be dealt with in the next stage. tidy up in that respect, but the site's had one zone. The place obviously doesn't get developed.
Yes, well, that I think is essentially
what
Mr. Evans' recommendation is.
Yes. That's just the manner in which it's dealt with.
Can I stop to read just a little bit of background on this? When we were standing on the site and we did impinge upon their private property by walking into it further than we could, can you just help me understand the terrace shape that you see when you're looking down? Is that natural or was it created or was it modified by earthworks?
Where were you standing?
We were standing on the southeastern corner of the property.
Oh, well,
it's now got a sheet there.
It's probably been modified because it would be on the very edge of it. It's from the very edge of the reef, but enormously modified and
Well, that helps me because it looks so perfect.
That terrace goes all the way along, that's what absolutely perfect, except for the conical and the walls on the throne.
That's what I wanted to understand, because I thought, gosh, maybe this is a result of somebody's building.
The top of the river was amazing and perfect, the way it shaped that too.
Yes, okay. That's fine. There's no point in asking you anything further, because if it's natural, with a little bit of hard enough, that's fine.
Do you have any questions, Christian?
The next submission is Feature Distribution and Micro, New Zealand, number 344. And that addresses together with the Rebuild submission number 7. So this is another rural to industrial aid submission.
Fetch Distribution and Micro New Zealand Limited and Rebuild New Zealand Limited have submitted that the rural zone parts of Placemaker site be rezoned industrial aid. I consider that industrial zone of these areas of land to be appropriate given the existing use and location within industrial area. Again, no evidence has been provided by these submitters nor any other submitters that the industrial aid zone could be inserted unchanged into the PDP and still meet the various statutory needs. I therefore recommend that Council initiate a change or variation during the later stage of the PDP review for this land and the district position reviewed.
Is this one of those cases where it is open to the panel to apply a zone from the office plan?
Well, this is another cleanup.
If you don't do it now, you do it later?
Well, it's little slivers of land around the place like this. And we were called, we drove into the car park and we sat straight around the zone boundary in the car park.
I do. What's this? This is to be done about?
I think that falls into that committee that I was discussing with Scott just today about some way of certainty for the landowner that something will happen. I think we will certainly recommend that be tidied up.
Avon Corporation, submission
418. Avon Corporation, submission 418, requested that their site at the airport end of Flinders Drive be rezoned for industrial aid. The site was notified as an airport mixed use zone, not rural, as the other submission. Queenstown Airport Corporation has confirmed that the airport designation is not required for this use of land. As with the other submissions seeking industrial aid, no evidence has been provided justifying the industrial aid as the conclusion of this use. However, as I consider that the land is better suited to an industrial zone than the airport mixed use, I have recommended that the council initiate a variation to this land in the industrial provision and reviewed. The majority of the consents are under the airport mixed use provisions in the meantime have been restricted.
Has the airport company uplifted the designation of what's the name of the
Yes, I believe they have, and that was right. Confirmed in the designation hearing.
So then we're just looking at the zoning issue now.
You said it, it may well be actually confirmed in the evidence before this panel as well, I think.
We couldn't actually get onto that site because it's all closed off by the construction.
Yeah.
It's been all alive, but I think it is in that construction zone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's behind my town.
Yes, as you know, the Green Drive is on the right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, but the construction zone is much bigger than the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the next submission is the Skyline Enterprises submission. I wonder whether you have the energy to get into that today, or would you like to wait for that?
Well, I say it's 20 seconds to 5 o'clock, so it's appropriate.
Thank you.
I'll be able to talk to you later.